You are all welcome to the first morning session of our December seminar titled Laws of Fruitfulness. This is a career and business seminar for the morning. So we've come to learn about business. We've come to learn the mind of God about our careers. So you are very much welcome. Before we take our first session for today, please, if you have any question that is in your heart that you need answers to, that you need clarification about, please write it in a piece of paper and send across to me or to Pastor Kemute. I will get it. Please write your question on a piece of paper and pass it across to me. It mustn't be about the things discussed today. In fact, I believe it will be about things disturbing you, not about things discussed today. So please, we have this morning and tomorrow morning to discuss on our businesses and our careers. I believe that God will give us wisdom to handle those questions by the end of tomorrow. In Jesus' name. So please to teach us about that this morning, I want to call on Pastor Banky. Yeah. All right. God bless you.
All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Let's declare gospel together. All right. Everybody, I think we know, most of us know it by heart. All right. And if you don't, just move your mouth and pretend like you do. All right. I want to let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
All right. Insight, understanding, skill. I like that word. Skill and understanding is your portion today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will tell you what to do today. Yes. You will know it. You will understand it. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. All right. Go quickly open your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 12. I want to just read that just to bring out something. It's a portion of the Bible we all know. And of course, like the David Paulson says, if he said that anytime he wants to preach, he likes to read the word. Because even if he talks nonsense after that, you will have been blessed. All right? So that's one area where you can never go wrong, reading the Bible. So I talk a lot of rubbish today and you leave here without learning anything. Let me read the Bible, okay? The Lord is good, though. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's read from the book of Luke, chapter 12. I want to begin from verse... Let's just start in verse 13, okay? Where I'm going is verse 20, but because I want to save a lot of time, I will not read it slowly. I'll be a bit quick. He said, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed." Please, I can't resist King James here. He said, "Beware of covetousness." All right? "For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses." Now, what is he saying here? Let's read the New American Standard, which I was reading. "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Now, where I want to read from actually is verse 16. "And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? He said in verse 21, so is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, I'm not going to discuss today, really, primarily on what it means to be rich toward God, but I want to just bring out, I read this for a particular reason, which we'll see in a moment. You can look up from your reading. If you read any of our books, there's something we always write at the back, all right, that the focus of my teaching, that's as a preacher, as a teacher of the word, is to separate the church from the world through the teaching of truth. Now, what do I mean by that? And that is that there are many things taught, practiced in the world today. The church is not supposed to behave like that. Jesus made it clear. He tell you that you know amongst the Gentiles, their rulers lord it over them. He said, but for you, it is not supposed to be like that. What am I going to say? How we do things, the purpose for which we do things, is different as Christians. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. So the fact that there is a threat to your existence, Jesus knew about it when he sent you out. Are you getting my point? When he sent you out as sheep amongst wolves, it means that they are likely to devour you. He knew about that. So when people tell you that this is how things are supposed to be done, otherwise you will not make it. That is the very reason you must do that way by which you will not make it. Because Jesus said you are sent out as what? As sheep amongst wolves. He understands that you may be devoured. You are not sent out to go and survive. Are you getting my point here? Now, you see what I'm saying in a moment. So let's get it clear. Because this is what happens. A lot of times, we Christians are derailed from the main reason why God sent us out. Do you understand my point? That is what the issue is. We are derailed. And why are we derailed? Simply because we have the same set of standards for measuring success. We have the same set of rules. All right, we say it all the time. Richest man in the world, Bill Gates. Who's the current one? They keep on changing. About five of them keep on exchanging it. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Carlos Slim, Amancio Ortega. You know, who's the other guy? Then Mark Zuckerberg is rubbing shoulders with the big boys now. Are you getting my point? I will keep on listing them as the richest men in the world. Who's the richest black man? Our good friend, Alhaji Aliko Dangote, who I have never liked because he's a rich man. I like because of what he's doing in Nigeria. That's just my own. Even if he says he's the poorest black African, it doesn't concern me. Is he building a refinery that's going to solve all our importation problem? May the Lord keep him until he has finished building it. And he will continue to live as long as he's investing new investments. When he stops, my prayer will move to somebody else. Do you understand? So, you know, we have this set of standards we use. And then, of course, Forbes gives us a list every year. And how do they measure their own? Basically, how much wealth? Well, they have a bit of a good side to it, but there's also a second side to it. They measure it simply, that is a bad side. They measure it basically based on how much wealth you have laid up on the earth. It's what you lay up, they measure. Of course, as part of it, they also measure how much industry you have created and all of that. Things are in your possession. That's how they measure wealth. But we have read again and again from Revelation when Jesus was speaking about the churches. There's a group of people that we will say is rich, and Jesus will look at them and say they are very poor. And there's a group that will say they are poor, and Jesus will look and say these ones, they are very rich. All right? You look at the church in Sardis. He said, I've heard of your poverty. Say, actually, you are very rich. Look at the church in Laodicea. I've heard you think you are very rich. He said, but actually, you are poor. You are wretched, you are blind, you are naked, you are hungry, you are stupid, you can't see anything, you don't know what's going on. You know, he gave all kinds. I embellished it a bit. Are you getting my point? All right. But now, that was his assessment, that these people were very, very poor. So we have to be careful that we don't read the standards of the world as a way of interpreting whether we are doing well or we are not doing well. Our yardstick must be different. What we use to measure who is successful must be very, very different. Okay? That's what I want to just explain briefly this morning. Why did I read this particular portion? Okay. And I just to bring out, of course, wanted to read the Bible and to highlight something. That if you look at the world today, if they place this man down, this man would have been a very successful man. If you read Robert Kiyosaki's books, it's amongst the few I've read in those areas. They teach you how to retire early. This man is a vintage example of a man who retired early. He said, take your ease. What else are you working for? And Jesus called him a fool. Any man that's walking towards eternity early is a fool. See our definition? Not our own, it's God's. They say retire, you know, you work hard so you can retire early so that you don't have to go to work again. That's not gospel. That's not the life of Christianity. These are little things, okay, we talk about. I try to read so I can be very informed. You know, one of the business things I watch a lot, just to keep, I learn a lot of it, especially when Mark Cuban is talking, is this series, Shark Tank, which is the American version of Dragon's Den, okay? There's a man there, his name is, what's that guy's name now? Kevin O'Leary, Kevin O'Leary. Now, if you watch it, Kevin O'Leary always tells you all that matters is money. After all that matters is what? Money. Before he makes his investment, all he cares about is, will this return what I have put in? That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about any other thing. Now, that is evil. What did I call it? That is against the will of God. A Christian was never reasoned like that. If you also watch the same program, this man, what is his name? Fubu. Yes, so if you watch it also, you see Demon John. Demon John tells you that it's good to be greedy. Say, I like you, you're like me. You're hardworking, you're smart, and you are greedy. No matter how funny it sounds, it's evil. It is evil. It is wrong to be greedy. In fact, I'm using the New American Standard. He said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. No matter how nicely painted it is, if it's a form of greed, it is wrong. No matter how beautifully painted it is, if one of the most successful black men in America sits on TV, his name is Demon John, and he says it's good to be greedy, tell him it is wrong. You cannot teach me what is right. Just talk. Let me be learning. Let me be listening to the things you are saying. I know how to filter them. Like somebody said, when you are listening to things, you have to be like the cow. The cow, when it's chewing, he puts everything in his mouth and just be watching it, swallows the grass, and spits out all the sticks. So you see a stem. It goes with the stem, chews. You think it's blind to swallow the stem? No. There's a way it just filters, removes all the leaves and all the sticks will be dropping from the corners of the mouth. So Demon John tells you it's good to be greedy. It's a lie. The Lord Jesus said it is wrong to be greedy. Are you getting my point here? So now, why did I read this? You see that this man was successful by worldly standards. And Jesus told us this man was a fool. Many successful people in the world, the Lord looks at them and says, you are a fool. God does not mark richest man in the world list. He doesn't care about that list at all. Many years ago, as a younger believer, of course, when I was learning the word of faith on how, you know, spiritual things work, how faith, you know, get everything, the Lord Jesus is Lord, amen. Why don't you, when I see richest people in the world, if you see, people always try to prove whether they are Christians or they are Jews. Very silly endeavor. Trying to prove that the richest man in the world is a Christian or is a Jew. Is irrelevant. You getting my point? If he's a Jew, I'm not going to become a Jew. And the Christians are writing books on the secrets of Jews. It doesn't impress me. Read the Bible and find out what the Lord says Christians should do. Whether I get the results the world says is good or is I don't get it is irrelevant. These things are very, very important. You know, when the world wants to say, is this company successful? And you see what's going on in the world today. They are fulfilling prophecy anyway. Every day, they are laying off. The other day I read that, Airbus or Boeing is cleaning off about 1,000 jobs in Europe again. You hear it's a normal thing. This bank is consolidated with the other one, the big international banks, and it's going to lead to a loss of 6,000 jobs in Europe, 5,000 in America, and 2,000 in Africa, and 5,000 in Asia. Why? They are consolidating. What are they trying to do? They are trying to reduce the number of people that work so that they can boost profits. They call it the bottom line. That's not Christianity. We have to be careful. And listen, there's one thing I always say. The kingdom of the Lord Jesus rules over all. That's a matter of fact. What is said eventually will be proved to be correct. So don't let people push you into, you know, using worldly standards to measure who is successful, who is not successful. There are certain races as believers we must never get involved in. All right? At the age of this man was a millionaire, was a billionaire. Believe me, it has no meaning. It has no meaning. The meaning is zero. It doesn't have anything to do with his personal ability. People don't seem to be able to understand that thing. It has nothing to do with your personal ability. All this man was a billionaire at the age of 35. It has no meaning. It doesn't mean he's smart. Smarter people than him were dead at the age of 36. Do you get my point? People much, much smarter are on drugs. The fact is that most people in this life, they are basically, according to scripture, they were lucky. Lucky in quotes, I will explain it. Because time and chance happened to them. Do you follow my point? Time and chance happened to them. So don't let anybody, we must be careful in life, we don't let people push us to where, you know, at your age, Mark Zuckerberg was a billionaire. So, do I look like him? Do I have the same purpose in life? I mean, what did John the Baptist do to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the mother's womb? People like to compare. At the age of 10, this man was laying on the sick, they were recovering. At the age of 10, Saul was just warming up to start killing people. At the age of 20, he had learned enough to be able to persecute the whole church. All the time, Jesus was going around. You know, Saul was alive that time. But he never knew Jesus. Because Jesus operated mostly in another part of Judah. A part that Saul didn't used to go to. So he didn't know what he looked like. The first time he really got involved with this Jesus matter was when the disciples began to spread. And they were trying to explain that the temple had passed away. That's when the guy got provoked. By the time he became a believer, are you getting my point? They had to be telling him what Jesus was like. It was one person that didn't see him one day, all the days he was on this earth. It was after resurrection that Jesus used to appear to him. On the way to Damascus, he encountered him. So John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Waiting consensus. That's the way you like it. In the age of 30, they removed the head of John. We know his age. He and Jesus were just 6 months apart in age. So Jesus was just waiting for them to finish imprisoning him. Please, you are getting the principle here?
Yes, sir.
So let's forget all this comparison. At the age of 30, Joseph's life was beginning in the palace. At the age of 40, Moses' life was ending in the palace. His ministry began at the age of 80. So forget all of these things. Mary Kay Ash, who I quote once in a while, she began her business after she retired. So please, let's forget all this comparison that the world does. All right? Those are the points I just want to make this morning. All right? The world is not allowed to teach us anything concerning what is success. Now, but what I wanted to bring out is that now the Lord Jesus looked at this and said, this man, having laid up everything, is a fool. Do you understand? That tells that the purpose of planting, sowing seeds, is not to harvest enough to be able to lay up. That's what I wanted to bring out. When Paul was going to talk about the need for people to work, he said, if a man is not doing anything, don't give him food to eat. Now, this is the interesting part. David Paulson said, the young man came to his house waiting for him to go and eat lunch. So he refused to start. Food was ready. He refused to go to go and eat. After a while, the man asked, are you not going to take your lunch? The young man was hungry. David Paulson said, yeah, I'm going to take my lunch after you leave. I'm waiting for you to go. Then I will come and start eating. So the man said, I was kind of hoping I could join you. David Paulson said, the Bible forbids me to give you food. The young man was alarmed. What? Let's make a long story short. He looked at him and said, you are not working. If you are not working, you should not eat. He led the man out of the house. He didn't give him anything to eat. The man came back and like a year later and said, now you can give me food. Why? After they're working. Now the work he was working was not what was paying for the food in this man's house. It wasn't. I just want to illustrate a particular point. So Paul was not saying that you need to have food, work to be able to eat. He was just saying, we will punish you by starving you if you're not doing anything. But if you're working and it's not producing, we understand. If we bear witness, you know, we have testimony that you're a diligent and serious person. It's just that things didn't work out well the way you planned them. We will understand. But if your father is very rich and you have a lot of money, if you come to our house, we shouldn't give you food. Because the concept about it is to discipline you. Now, so, Paul now said, what is the purpose for work? He said it's so that the person will have something to give. When Paul was going to encourage people, he said, let the one that is stealing don't not steal anymore. And there are different styles of stealing. Oh, there are different methods of stealing. Let me not start with that. There's the obvious one. You see, the money is not your own. You collect it, you pocket it. Who took it? I don't know. You can use a gun, fire into the air. Everybody drop your phone. That's another method. But there are other methods. I've seen plenty of it. I've also been selling maybe phones. You can't afford it. You now go and say, let me, how much is it? Tells you 50,000. Can I pay you small, small? You say yes. So you collect the phone. And you start paying small, small. 2 years later, you are paying only 20,000 out of 50,000 on the phone. You're a thief. Yes, you're not planning to pay. You knew how much you were earning when you went to buy a phone, a smartphone. You're a thief. There are different styles of stealing. Let's not talk about that in detail. But Paul now said that, look, if anyone is doing that, let him stop. Let him walk with his hands. And he said the reason is so that you have something to what? To give, to be able to share with those who are in need. It's amazing that Paul did not say, so you have food to eat. That's why I said the primary purpose of income is, first of all, he said, God gives seed to the sower and then bread for food. Therefore, what must be primary in the mind of a believer is how I can give. That is first. And giving again is not just take cash, offering basket. That's not the primary thing. That's not the only way. That is good. That is right. So dip your hand in your pocket and dash somebody cash is very good. To go to church, see an offering basket, and make it fall by the weight of your offering is good. Are you getting my point? It's very, very good. You know, one day one brother sent Kingdom World money. Somebody I know well. So, because I know him personally, I called him just to acknowledge that we saw the alert, which we only get by email. We don't have any phone number on our account. So, I said, I did not know a computer could vibrate. You know, when your phone sometimes vibrates. I said, when your alert entered, the computer shook. Because the money was plenty. So I called him, I said, when my computer begin to vibrate, I don't know saying that you. So he had a very good laugh, you know. So it's good. These are very, very good things to do, okay? But that's not the only way you give. A businessman goes out of his way, and primarily in his mind, is not what to lay up. That's where I'm going. It's not what to eat. The Bible says the primary thing is what? What to give. So now, that's why I read this. So let us understand, purpose is very important. We must have a different mindset from the world. And listen, like I said yesterday, we are operating by grace. We are preparing ourselves. I must make that point. We are preparing ourselves for God to use us. We're not trying to be smart. We are preparing ourselves for God to use. We're not trying to do anything per se. We are preparing ourselves for God to use. That's so crucial for Christians to get. I'll say it again and again. We are not trying to create anything by ourselves or achieve anything. We are making ourselves vessel of honor, prepared for the master's use. That's what we are. That's why we must be careful when we are assessing what we are doing. Now, I give a number of reasons why. Of course, we've seen why people do business, what the world talks about, why they're advancing their career. All of that is to make more money. Basically, is to have a secure future, be able to educate my children anywhere in the world I want. So the things that they say is primary. But that we have seen, that's not what the Bible talks about. That's not what it recommends for believers. Believers are supposed to trust God for all of these things. What will happen to my children tomorrow? I pray for them today. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. It says, even though you are poor, you are a single mother with two sons to raise, if you lay hands on those children and pray for them, they can become American Secretary of Housing. That is the story of Ben Carson I just told you. Are you getting my point? The mother was a teenager when she had those boys. Then the father left them because he was a devious man, wasn't straight. Yet, as a little boy, one day told the mother, I would like to be a doctor. They were very poor. Medical education in America is expensive. It's not Nigeria federal schools. Nigeria federal schools is almost free. And you see people will be striking and complaining every time. I laugh. Better be celebrating your advantages. And when I see students, I say, if I slap your mouth, your teeth will dislocate. That is noise you are making. Go to America first. Whether your father can even send you to university at all. Now you're in medical school, you're opening your mouth. Anyway, there things are very costly. There was no hope, humanly speaking. But the woman said to the son, all we need to do is ask God. And that's what they did. Laws were written, events were arranged until he became what they asked God that he would be. Yes, there was writing the book. And I remembered his story again when he was going to fail an exam and he begged God for help. And an angel walked into a classroom and wrote the questions on the board for him, solved them and walked out. By the time his eyes opened, the place was empty again. And then he realized that God had just revealed. And next day he came for the exam. Just what the angels did yesterday was done. God helped him. Then one day he became the renowned neurosurgeon, a man that had the voice in the U.S. Was it last year? People were advising him to run for president. And he decided to do it. He did it well at a point. Then he drew back when Donald Trump overtook everybody. And then he endorsed Donald Trump. Donald Trump won the election. And Donald Trump now named him yesterday as the Secretary of Housing. That's from being nothing. That's how you handle your children's destiny. It's not with your money. If you have money and you hope in it, they will be on drugs. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
look, you must get that point. Go and ask Pastor Paul the story of him and his brothers. There I heard his brother tell his own story. His father used to give him $50,000 or pounds annually as pocket money. As a young teenager in school in the UK. What did they do every weekend? Party. And party is not Nigerian party of Ogogoro. No. When Americans say they are partying, you're talking about cocaine and weed. That's a party. It's normal with them. Alcohol is when people are sane. When they want to party, this boy said that's what they did weekends. Then he ran away from there. When he was trying to go to university, he went to the US. He said, thank God. I finally live in that mad place called London. He said, if I thought London was fast, he said US was on jet speed. If their mother worships God, it's not out of love for God, it's out of gratitude for what she did, what he did in the life of her sons. Our boy was deported from US because he was crazy. He was on drugs. But their father had a lot of money. The money could not. You know, when he's rich man, begin go to church late in life. Just no say omo wahala day. So you see, you don't hope in your wealth. That's why Paul wrote to them, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Instruct those who are rich in this world not to fix their hope on riches, for riches are uncertain. They can't make your child go well in life. They can pay for the best education, but they can't pay for good behavior. The boy will sit down, the best lecturers will be there. He's not listening. Because he's stoned. You gave him money with which he fried his own brain. You want your children to do well, don't hope on your money. Don't work for that purpose. Pray for them. That's the thing. That's why we are believers. Why do we do what we do, therefore? I just want to go over them. I've talked about this again and again. These are the reasons why we pursue, why we do business, why we work, why we pursue a career. There are a number of rules. Number one, I'm not putting them in any particular order. I just want to go through them again. One, we want to be a blessing. We are the gift of God to this earth. Are you getting my point? There's a solution inside me that somebody else does not have. If I don't get up and deploy it, I will deny people. Number one, I want to be a blessing. Number two, I want to establish righteousness. Like I said, no particular order. I'm just, as I'm remembering them, I'm listing them out. I want to establish righteousness. What do I mean by righteousness? I want to teach people the proper way to do things. When Henry Ford began the Ford Motor Company. That was his purpose. He wasn't trying to be rich. He just said the way business is being done is wrong. And he said the success of the Ford Motor Company is not about the machine that bears the name Ford. He said it's my way of telling people, in some way, let me use my own words now, but it's my way of telling people that the way you people were doing things, I've been saying to you for a long time, your way was wrong. My way was right. Or my way is right. Now I've proven to you that I'm right. Now go and learn my ways. And that's the truth. Everybody, mass production, wages, insurance, what they call it, warranty, everything. These were the things he taught people. And every motor company on this earth and other companies, they use the same principle now. So that's what I mean by establishing righteousness. Righteousness means the way of doing things that's correct. So that's one thing we do. We come out to teach righteousness. Also, we come out to demonstrate the excellence of God. You understand my point? Which is also ingrained in all of these other things. It's intertwined. This is how, that is, you represent God for people. We give him, that is, we show forth his name. He said we have been called to show forth his excellencies. These are the reasons why we do what we do. Those are the things. And then, of course, just like when Pastor Kimothy was praying earlier, he said a man was given a talent, he was given a gift, he was not, and he kept it very well, gave it back to the master intact, and he was judged unfaithful. That this faithfulness is to multiply that which you have been given. Bezalel and Oholiab, God gave them the gift of the craftsman, and then he gave them the ability to teach others also. That is, after Bezalel will have worked for some time, you come after 15 years, you will find at least 20 other Bezalels around. Yeah. Are you getting my point? Yes, so when you come, Bezalel, please, we want to make this beautiful carving to decorate this made of pure gold. Ah, you say, I'm very busy. Oh, by the way, I don't work gold anymore. Why? There are so many of my boys that can do it as well. Teach others also. So Bezalel had a duty, not to make money for his family, but to make sure the skill is passed on to other people. Very, very important. There's one man in our profession. I won't tell you which specialty. He brags so much about how he's this. Anytime you meet him, he talks so much about himself, it turns you off within 10 minutes. But one thing that all of us know is that he did not reproduce himself in anybody. One day somebody said, why does he talk so much about himself? I said, because nobody talks about him. Now, so what I'm going to say is that Bezalel is not supposed to just make money for his family, but to multiply the gift of God that's in him. That's why we do what we do. Do you understand my point here? That's why we do what we do. You know, just personal testimony. If you know how many times people have, one day one man calls me, you were talking on radio. Sunday, that's our SU man in the north. One day he and I were talking. He said, one day I heard a young man on radio, and I told people in the car with me, this man listens to Banky. I said when? He described it, what time in the morning? Around 9. I said, that's okay, Muti. He said, he doesn't know him, but some people confused the two of us. He knew my voice very well. He said, no, that. He said, this guy. One day I was listening to one radio program broadcast from somewhere in Enugu, not Enugu now, outside. So the young man spoke for some time. He will say something. I told my wife, this guy is quoting, he's giving my illustrations, quoting my scriptures, giving my opinion. I said, I don't know who he is, but then they mentioned his name. I said, oh, broji.com. That's this guy who's in Kano now. What is his name? Eddie Woke Joseph. I said, ah! Oh, I was just at home on a Sunday morning. I don't know how I stumbled on that radio station. The guy talked for like 30 minutes. Ah! I told my wife, no. The guy went, So these are my illustrations. These are the scriptures I quote to support this point. These are the points I make all the time. Finally, the nurse said, all right, only mention his name. I just laughed. I said, oh, now our guy. I hope you are getting my point here. So that's it. That's what we do, what we do. And of course, last of all, okay? If we are working with our hands, we get paid. So we make money. Are you getting my point? Making money, however, is not number one. Well, why we need to say all of this, and I always put the money thing last, is that people sometimes sacrifice some things, and that is wrong. Money is not the purpose, it's just a measure. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Yes, money helps you know. If you are doing business, because sometimes, you know, those days when my wife will be doing something, and let me use your car. I said, look, this is my car you are using, this is my disk you are using, my printer. I said, I need you to put a cost on them. He said, no, I'm trying to get this thing started. You know, I said, no, I'm not saying you should pay. I'm saying just put a cost. If you don't put a cost on it, you'll be making false profit. You now tell somebody that I invested 1 million and I made 1 million. You forget that my car drove you around. My fuel. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And somebody else will now be doing the same thing and will be making 100,000. And you now be seeing that you don't know how to do business. You forget that that one is a man in the house. He's the one that's bringing the car, bringing the fuel. Nobody is supporting this thing he's doing. I had to insist. I told my wife, no, I don't. Look. After a while, she thought I was being hard. I said, you don't get it. You are going to declare false profit, and it's not right. You must know the cost of everything you are doing. Go and read my favorite scripture, Proverbs 27, verse 23 there. Know the condition of your flock. You must know it. And she actually met one woman then. They were friendly for some time, but she hasn't seen the woman in a while now. This woman was doing business. She was selling things, importing things and selling. Now, what my wife was selling for maybe like 9,000. The woman said she's selling for 8,000 naira. And my wife is alarmed. How are you managing? And some people now say, this other woman's things are cheaper. I said, I don't know why she does it. So after sitting her down for a while, she found out that that woman was not doing business. She was throwing away money. Of course, she was always folding up. Business. One day, the woman introduced my wife to her relative. She said, somebody will supply you these clothes, imported clothes. Said that this fellow is my brother's wife or something, but close relative. He said, go and meet her. You buy in bulk. He said, but don't tell her I sent you. Oh, I said, why not? What? I mean, it's a relative. Your relative. And you're bringing her business. Make a long story short, the truth was that she was owing that woman too much money. That's when my wife now understood how she was losing money. She didn't have a car to move around and all of that. She didn't factor in the cost of moving around. She sells on credit, did not factor in the cost of recovering her money. Didn't factor any of those things in. But people used to give her goods on credit. Oh, it's my brother's wife, my relative. Come, give her goods worth 1 million naira. Sell and give me money. So she said, okay, this is, they are giving me at 7,006. I can sell it for 8,000. 400 naira is decent profit, you know, that kind of thing. And she was supposedly making 400 naira per sale. Except that cost of moving around, cost of, like Shark Tank would teach, what they call customer acquisition. She didn't factor all of those things in. And she did not know. So when it's time to pay, she never had money to pay the people. She was not wicked. She wasn't stealing. One is, okay, I gave you goods worth 1 million. Where's my 1 million? She'll have only 850,000. Oh, in that process, you have to eat. A lot of people don't know that. That's why we are doing business. Even if you are getting something for free, put value on it. And thank God for it, but put value on it. You are selling, you get a free slot on radio to talk about your goods. Note the value of that advert. Because if you don't, you are going to teach people what is wrong. You have to put a value to everything. You know, women are very interesting. No insult intended. Bishop, 5 minutes, please, I want to borrow it. Now, women are very interesting, and I don't mean any insult, okay? But you see, let me tell you why you need to talk about these things, so that you know your weaknesses. Do you follow my point? You know your weaknesses and guard against them. Have you ever heard this thing before, that women give attention to details? Have you heard that before? I don't know who started that lie. That thing is not true. That is so, it's a big lie. It's a lie. Women, listen to me. They are lying to you. You don't give attention to details anything. They give attention to funny details. Like, what's the color of the house? How the lines are arranged? Give a woman a car, you know whether she gives attention to details. They will drive the car for 1 year, won't check the oil. Is that attention to details? It can give attention to the details. Is the color red or mauve or turquoise or all those funny, funny things? But give me attention to real detail. My experience as a man, I've been married for some time, relating with many ladies here and there, and my friend's wives, I hear Okemote talk about his wife. You know, I heard all of those things. The summary is that it is not true that women give attention to details. I don't know who started that lie. It is totally not true. They give attention to the details like the baby was born. What's the baby? What's the weight? Did he smile immediately? Did he not smile immediately? They give attention to details. But real details, detail gone, gone. You know, the ones that matter. No. I'm not aware of that. I'll tell my wife sometimes. Yeah. No, but it's true. Look, these are facts too. No, they can give attention to detail. How many locks are in the hair? He said, the woman painted, I told her to use only 650 locks. She used like 652. That one. Why did I even go into that? I found out, look, a lot of times, this detail thing is where people lose it. Let me give you an example. Once, I went to Lagos. Mom said she saw where they are selling some things cheap. Something that we use in the house, like food or something. I can't remember what exactly now. That her friend said they sell in this particular supermarket in Lagos and it's cheap. So she buys it, she's going to buy. So I said, no problem. I want to do something in Lagos with my friend's car, we're moving up and down. She was, you know, okay, where's that street? We're looking for the place. Finally, we found it. Two men and two women at 8:30, 9 o'clock in Surulere in Lagos, looking for a supermarket that sells something cheap. No problem. Then time to buy. Pay now. POS machine began to give problems. We're now looking for ATM to collect money to pay. I was just looking. No problem. We finished buying. They came into the car. So I asked my wife, how much have you saved? I can't remember for sure. But you know, you do, sometimes we just walk by emotions. Assuming it's ketchup. It's not ketchup, but let's just assume it's ketchup. And she used a lot of it at home. So I said, okay, how much per bottle? How many bottles did you buy? This is not what happened. I'm just using to illustrate. Okay, you bought 20 bottles. Thank God. 20 is a lot. Okay, good. So how much is ketchup? Somebody tell me. Listen, I just want to get an example. Okay, let's assume it's 500 naira in Enugu. And that supermarket in Lagos is selling for 350. Which is a massive difference. Is it not? Yes. It's massive. It's massive. Come on. It's massive. You understand why a woman will go to Lagos and buy? Except I said, okay, 20 bottles, 150. How much is that? 3,000 naira. I said, fine. Thank you. You saved 3,000 naira on this purchase. Now let's start valuing our time and fuel that we used to save 3,000 naira. Four adults with the risk of driving around at night in Lagos. And that kind of way, when you give a man, please, help me find a selling cheap in Lagos. He won't argue with you. You collect the money. Add the 3,000 naira. Go to Roba and pay. Keep it somewhere. Then he'll go to Lagos. Come back, carry the load. Where may I catch your Siam? Because the 3,000 naira. I sat my wife down that day and I showed her how even though she saved money, we lost money. That was when she woke up to, wow, it's true. And it was very funny because I remember this was years ago. It was our 10th anniversary and my wife said that, let her buy her husband something. And she bought me two pairs of Italian shoes. And you know how much Italian shoes cost. So you can blow that amount of money on Italian shoes, then you make me drive around the whole of Sweet Lady. It wasn't up to 3,000. It wasn't up to 3,000. I just used that one to illustrate. I said, you didn't value the time, the fuel, everything. Because they are intangible. You know, they're not easily, I don't want to use the word intangible cause. They don't easily come up to mind. And that's why the Bible had to instruct. Make sure you know the condition of your flock. I see people every day, they use 1,000 naira to pursue a business that will use them 500. I'm not saying you will never do that, but you have to look for the other advantages. There must be. You must know exactly what else. Because if it's cash, that's why God gave us money. You use money to value things. Otherwise, we won't be productive. We think we are being productive. You see a lot of movement, but no directional movement, motion. You're not moving in any particular direction, but you are going up and down. You are going up and down. And that's why God gave us money. That's why if you are doing business, if you are not doing accounts, you will fail. Guaranteed. That's the reason why money is there. It's a measure of how well we are doing what we are doing. I hope you got my point. Yes, sir. All right, I've taken a bit more time than Bishop gave to me, but I think I'm done. I can go and sit down. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Wow, beautiful. Please, another round of applause for Pastor Banky, please. That was a very powerful session for me. I don't know about you, but sincerely, that was very powerful. And I just want to mention one or two things that Pastor said during his message. When he talked about that every income has the seed part and the food part. I just want to direct us, recommend some messages to us for those of us that are joining us probably today for the first time or you've not been around with us. Even those that have been around, please. There are two messages I want to refer us to so as we can get more understanding of that part. Number one is your money. There is a series Pastor taught some years back titled Your Money. In that message, you will learn a lot about how to handle money, how to apportion money to different things in your life. The part to give, the part to keep, the part to enjoy on your own, the part to put as seed. That message will help you a lot. So please, when we finish, ask the people at the tape stand about that message. Another one is seeds. Seeds is S-E-E-D-S. You know, Nigeria had this needs we had at a point, National Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies, and the states had theirs, which was also seeds, states economic empowerment. Now, Kingdom World, Pastor Banky taught spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies some years back. I was part of that teaching, and it changed my life forever. So I want to also recommend those messages to us because I believe they will change our lives. Praise the Lord. Yes, we'll continue with our discussions on business and career. Please, sincerely, take these teachings very serious. If you can jot down things, please do, because you will need them after today to make references to for your further studies. You know, we learned about the second level of hearing and hearing. You know, when you are doing your second hearing, sometimes you make references. You want to check your notes. You want to call a friend. You want to check your Bible. These are resources that will always help you for your second hearing. Because for me, I just heard something today that I've been hearing in a very long time, but somehow it made a different meaning. You know, we follow Forbes, you follow all these ratings, and somewhere along the line, you begin to sleep. You begin to measure yourself. There is a recent one they're doing in Nigeria now, 40 under 40. Like, I don't know whether you've heard about that, 40 under 40. You know, they do it for different sectors, you know, Lagos sector, different sectors, 40 under 40, at least 40 people doing great things under the age of 40 years, you know. There is even 30 under 30, you know. Sometimes you see some of these things, and social media has not helped matter. You see these things, and you begin to somewhere along the line, you begin to measure yourself, you know, when they give their achievements. You begin to wonder, are you sure I'm not playing? Are these people not, you see, look at me, under 30, I didn't achieve this thing when I was 30. These people, you know. So somehow you begin to sleep, you begin to push yourself towards achieving like those people. But the truth is that our life is not a function of what we have acquired. It's not a function of how much is in our bank account. For me, I've come to understand that those things are a sign of how much impact you are having. If you're not having impact, you will not be having money. Let me put it that way. You know, when I was much younger, when you hear 1 million, 1 million, it will be looking like one big money out there, as if when you get it, it will fill the whole room. When I made my first 1 million, I was asking question, please, Is this the same 1 million they have been talking about? Yes, sincerely, as a young child, I was thinking that 1 million will fill the whole room. In fact, I had to go to the bank to withdraw it, to bring out everything. Say, this 1 million that I've been talking about. I brought out everything so as to be sure that this is 1 million. And it did not fill even the table in my house. But for some people, I was explaining this to someone some time ago. He said, Uncle Bishop, leave that thing first. Let's make the 1 million first. I was trying to tell the person, see, in your mind, you think money is something big. One day you will come to understand that money is nothing big. You will seek for better value. You will seek for better impact. I have a friend that works with Orlando. He earns a lot. He earns a lot. Very, very much. One day he was in my house in the evening like this. We were just gisting. And he said, man, that this money is nothing. No. This is someone that goes on vacation with the family, fully paid expense every year. As in, he earns a lot of money. In fact, he's so highly placed in Orlando. So he was like talking. You know, somewhere inside my heart, inside, you know, we're like the big guy, you know. He's earning a lot of money, the big guy. And that he was like, money is nothing, no. I said, guy, what are you talking about? He said, money is nothing, no. It's when you start earning a lot of money that you begin to ask yourself, what is this life really all about? Is it about money? He said that he wakes up every morning, he goes to this work. Yes, he earns a lot of money. The family is enjoying a level of luxury. But the truth is, he's not happy. He said this to me, that he's not happy. But the bad part is that he can't resign. he can't resign. How can you convince the wife? I want to pursue purpose. What kind of purpose? They want to pursue destiny. What kind of... So, he said a lot of things, actually. He said a lot of things. And I was just looking at him in my mind, like, seriously. As in, like, seriously, with all that you are earning, you are saying this thing. Then this thing is a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter. And from that time, I told myself, God, please help me. Help me. Let me not pursue money. Help me to pursue purpose, to make impact in this life. In fact, someone explained something to me some days back, and I was like, this is very powerful. You see that people want to have children. Why? Because they want someone to carry on with their name. You see, but the thing is this. When you have children, and you don't teach them, it don't impact into their lives before they enter into university, that you've lost them. And any child that you do not teach properly before going into university, you've lost that child, meaning that you've lost that name you are trying to keep. Say, to keep your name, you don't need children. To keep your name, you need to live. How many children does Nelson Mandela have? Can somebody tell me? How many children does Martin Luther King have? Who knows? He said, we don't know. But their name is still with us. It's not about the children. It's about you living. Live your life and make an impact. That your name will be here forever. Yes. Like Pastor Banky will teach some time ago. He said, Paul. The Paul that we read his epistles up to today. What kind of car did he drive? What kind of chariot did he drive? How many buildings did he build? Do we know? What was Paul's wife's name? Okay, he didn't marry. His relatives. Did he know? No, don't know any of them. In fact, we were watching one picture yesterday. Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates. They were together, you know, like chatting. And there was a caption. Like 34 or 54 billion. Okay, 100 and something billion in one picture, and there's no Gucci belt in view. 100 and something billion dollars in one picture, and there's no Gucci belt in view. When you begin to make money, you understand it's not about show. It's not about impressing anybody. Life is beyond impressions, being the big guy, you know, showing off and all those things. Let us be careful. For us that are in business and want to pursue our careers, make sure that you're not doing it because in your family there are a lot of professors, so you want to join. In your family, you want to be part of those who made money, who built house, who did this one, who did this one. Let's be very, very careful that our life is beyond that. You will build houses. Amen. You will build in your village, you will build in Nigeria, you will build in America, you will build for people, you will dash people. Amen? But even at that, our life is not measured by that. Amen. I listened to someone who was explaining about the being a slave and being a son, talking about Christians. He said something. A lot of explanations, but let me just pick one part. That Christians basically today, Nigerian Christians basically, are slaves, are sons. That what God does is this. You are a son. He allows you all the privileges of being a son. You are the owner of everything. But because of that thing, the Bible says that as long as the son is still a child, he's not different from the slave. He now says something. If the slave is wiser than the son at that level, the slave will be handling every other thing. The father will make sure the child doesn't miss anything. Doesn't everything he needs in life. He needs a chopper. He needs whatever he needs. But he can't commit to him real riches. That the way we are today, God has committed the real riches to the servants out there. That we are the sons. You need a car. He gives you a car. You need a house. You want to wear fine suits. He gives you. But most of us, we've not sat down to say, God, what do you really want me to do on this earth to show forth your glory? I like the three things Pastor listed while we walk. We don't walk basically because of money. We want to establish God's excellency on this earth. But some of us have not sat down to say, what is my part in that establishing your excellency, oh God? We want food. We want that. He gives them to us. But what is my part? What really do you want me to do to make sure that this earth is filled with your glory? We don't get to ask that question. We don't get to sit down to ask that. And that is why we are sons. And we are sons that don't serve. We need to get into the servant mode so that we can do big things for God. In our businesses, in our careers, I want you to know that yes, you are a son, but sort of strip yourself of that privilege and take the privileges or take the position of a servant and we'll go for hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I asked us earlier on to write down our questions about life, about business, about career. Write down the questions. We'll handle them by God's grace. I want to call on one of our brothers to give us and talk. Our time is fast spent, so we'll be leaving here very soon. We want to call our brother Olayinka Oyekomi, the chief sage, to talk to us. You're welcome.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a business meeting, and we are Christians, so I think I just want to share a few things I think that will help us and we'll learn. And I want to take it from what Bishop said. And like Pastor said, he was listening to somebody on radio and was saying, this person uses a lot of my illustrations. I'm one of those. I was in Abid. Was it when I was on radio? Pastor was here. Praise God. Yes. But I'm sure we're going to learn a few things. I've been really blessed being in this ministry. It has taught me a lot of balance, and balance is very critical, especially when we are doing business, because when you go out there, you can be seriously confused, you know. When you get into this line of business, somebody else is doing exactly that line of business, and the person is galloping ahead. While you are moving at snail speed, panic could just enter you. You just be thinking that you are really not moving. But the truth of the matter is that you have to realize that your identity is different. And you have to stay in the place of your identity. That's one critical thing that you don't want to lose all the time. That is, you are a Christian, and the way you do your own things, they are very, very different. Praise the Lord. Now, I just want to, let me take it from where Bishop was talking about seven sons. And in saying that, I want to talk about a bit, create a balance in the area of work. Praise God. If you have been here for a while, you would have heard enough word to know that it's not your hustle that creates what you are looking for. Amen? Yes, it's not your hustle. However, one thing we must be careful about is not to be lazy as Christians. Praise the Lord. If you look at pastor very well, one thing you can say categorically is that he's not lazy. For those of us that work a bit close with pastor, if pastor gives you assignment, once pastor is coming, in your head, you're analyzing the whole thing. Pastor says, have I done it? Okay, I don't do this one. Okay, I've done this one, I've done this one. Basically, it keeps you on your toes. And one of the things it does for me also is that it keeps me on my toes in my own area of business also. If pastor mistakenly asks you about your business, and you are now, you know, you are feeling boastful. Say, okay, pastor, you know, we are trying to do this and doing this thing. You have set yourself up. Because the next time is going to ask you questions. It's going to expect you to have gone to the next level. It will now be asking you like, so why didn't you guys do these things? You will now be stuck. And be wondering in your head, why didn't you do this? And my mind was telling me to do it. Oh, you know, you have to be careful of laziness under the guise of grace. You cannot sit down in your house, sleeping, and then you expect that things will happen magically. Praise the Lord. There's a place of work in the place of you doing business. Praise the Lord. And you have to carefully settle down, itemize the jobs you have to do, and do them. It's not for the pursuit of money. When I was coming this morning, I saw one new hotel. And immediately an idea dropped in my head. This new hotel, if you just package marketing for them now, money don't enter your head. I said, what's the purpose of you packaging that marketing? It's simply because you want to make money, Abby. I said, if you are pursuing money, you get into all sorts of things that you are not supposed to get to. Now, taking a cue from Bishop, who said that we have to be to settle down to know the assignment that God gave us on earth to do and to pursue it. And I believe strongly that God gave each person an assignment. And if you are working, if you are in the place of work, you are not in the place of sleeping and waiting and praying, God, show me, Lord, show me. And you are just in that place. But when you say, God, show me, you go out to work, you will stumble or deliberately walk into the place of your assignment. Praise the Lord. Yes, and I like the story of Joseph. Many times we remember Joseph as a dreamer. But one thing I never forget was that the first problem he had with his brothers was that he went to the farm and came back and gave a report and said, the way they are administering the farm is wrong. Praise the Lord. That is, the guy was really was an administrator. And then he went to the house of Potiphar. And when he got there, he administered the place so excellently. Potiphar said, guy, take over. Now, if you look at it, there was an escalating size of what he had to do. So he moved from his father's farm to Potiphar's house. From there, he went to prison. Before long, he was administering what was going on in prison. How they will serve food, how they will do this, how they will do that, how they will make sure the place is clean and all of that. From there, he started administering the whole of Egypt. So I told myself, and I now thought about it, and I realized that it was difficult for the guy to do storage for 7 years, but he had been practicing how to do storage in the prison. It's not entirely his sense. But you see, it is when you are walking and you are asking questions. Sometimes that is where God drops the revelation you need to solve that problem. And I believe that in the place of business, God gives us revelation. I'm so sure of that. Every time I went to this station to talk, they have a way of bringing hard questions. Questions that will stump me. Then I'll just stay like this. The answer will just drop in my head. I'll just settle down for like a second. And I'll start explaining to them. So in Urban Radio now, they think, in fact, they call me a financial expert. One day I was not there, they called me, they recorded what I was saying and played it on radio. Me, I was talking to the guy normally. I didn't know that I was. But the way he was asking questions, leading, after asking me one, he would now ask the next question. In my mind, I said, this guy wants to put this on radio. I now started speaking better English. It was on the phone, no? Normally I was just saying, Chama Afa. I was just, he just said, so when you say Buhari has done, now what do you think this will happen? I say, hey, This guy wants to put this thing on radio. I just had to say, well, you know, in Financial Matters, I changed it. Praise the Lord. But, you know, when I was thinking about it, I said, Kai, God knows how to give people cheat mode. I was on cheat mode. What do I mean by that? The things that I need to say, the Bible says when you get there, in that same hour, what you want to say will be given to you. I'm on cheat mode almost all the time. But you see, cheat mode doesn't come only when you are there. Sometimes cheat mode was dropped in your head a year ago because you were thinking, you were anticipating that problem. So it's in place of working and anticipating the problems, that is where answers come to you. Praise the Lord. So we have to be engaged people. Like, borrowing this, that phrase, we have to be serving sons. You have to be at work. So I believe that as you work, you end up in the place where God was. And you know, this thing is simple. It says, just be diligent. That one that you are doing now, be diligent with it. I was talking to one of our people in Makurdi the other day. I said, when I started driving, I just liked driving. But in the Southwest, I drove everywhere. I used to have uncles, cousins. They just come, Yinka Hafa, let's go to this place. Pia, we have gone. I was driving all those people. Then my dad was the last person I drove because he used to say, you are driving. If police should catch you, you'll be surprised. I'll tell them I've never seen you before in my life. That's what he used to say. Then one day, he just woke up and said, it's you people I'm working for. I have case in Osun State. Come and drive this car. That's how I started driving him. Praise the Lord. And another, you know, you have to know that God has put things in your life. I found out that if I went to a place, I won't miss the road again. I may not be able to tell you the name of the street, though, but the map is in my head. So when I'm going there, I'm looking for a certain turning. I say, there's one turning here. That's that turning. So I'm driving. I'm looking for that turning. Once I get there, so I always put landmarks in my head. I didn't plan it. Today, I'm happy that when Pastor and I are going somewhere, I say, Pastor, let's go. We will find it. Why? It wasn't planned. I didn't do it. It was in the place of work. What was the work? Driving. Praise the Lord. So when you get to that place, when there's an assignment in your hands, and you have to understand that there's no time that you're supposed to be idle. There's supposed to be work for you to do. As Christians, there's that danger. It's a valid one for us to be. And I found out something that God does. When you are a new Christian believer, you say, I need a car. You say, Lord, I need a car. You just speak to one brother, say, Brother Bishop, this is your car, is enough. You have driven your own. Give that guy. So your first car, you get it free of charge. Praise God. Then when you have matured a bit, you've been coming to Bible study, you have started quoting scripture and telling people with authority. Just say, Lord, I need a car. You say, very good. The next thing that is dropping in your head is idea. It's not car. It's not going to tell anybody to give you car. It's idea. The money from that idea will buy you car and a little extra. Praise God. So the idea. So now, the car has entered your hands as an idea. So if you take the idea and you hold it there and say, Kai, I have this wonderful idea. Oh, the day I will implement it. Oh my God. The idea will be wonderful. Your car, the day you implement your car. That's your car. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's your car that you are holding. So what I found out is, especially when we are looking for financial resources, what God gives us most times is an idea. Which you have to now take, especially for those of us that are in business, and then you run with it. And as you run with it, things begin to open up for you. Praise the Lord. So basically, we have to be careful as Christians not to be lazy. There are several, for me, that's the one thing that I'm afraid of more than anything. The scriptures that come to my head more than anything, they say, if you deal with a slack hand, you'll be poor. If a little sleep, a little slumber, your poverty is coming. Like I had those are the scriptures. They never leave my head though. So when I just say, poverty is rubbing your head. I will wake up. Praise the Lord. Because I believe that as a Christian, I have all things. God, look, the blessing works in my life. The assignment for me is to stay in the place of work and allow God to pour the resources into my life. Praise the Lord. And like Pastor itemized for us, You are a person of value, you know. There are things you are supposed to do for the world to be a better place. If you don't do them, You are leaving gaps in the world. You are making it harder for the people that are coming after. God sends people into the earth to solve problems. Well, anyway, because of time, I think I'll just put a hold to it here. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've not received any question. No, I said it earlier on. Pass it across to me, Okemute Olayinka, or anybody, I'll get it. Questions? Wow, but that was a powerful one from Olayinka there. That was a powerful one. In fact, from what you said, I just jotted down something. It is easier to control a moving car than to control a parked car. It's easier for God to direct you when you are already doing something than when you are in your house on your bed counting the ceiling. Hallelujah. So you go out there and do the work. Don't say, like some people do, that it is not my calling. Let me tell you something. You don't have a calling. You don't have a calling. In that aspect, you don't have any calling. Better go and work. It's because you have siblings. You have a mother that is very, very loving, very considerate. That's why you're talking about calling. Because you see brethren and you ask them for money, and they will dash you. That's why you're talking about calling. Yes, if brethren decides to become wicked like Americans, and then it becomes scriptural. It becomes scriptural. Then you go and look for work. It's not my calling. Okay, so let's take this question. When working, where is the place of planning for tomorrow and setting? And setting GRAIS. Okay, goals. GOALS. Okay. Setting goals as a Christian. When working, please let's listen again. Where is the place of planning for tomorrow and setting goals as a Christian? Beautiful question. Beautiful question. Is there anybody who wants to help us? Anybody wants to help us?
Praise God. There's something that we have heard here. You have to understand that your life is in seasons. You know, within the season where you are operating, you can make certain plans and work towards it. However, you understand also that all these things are tied to the crop permitting. For example, you can say now, 2017, oh my God. We are going to buy that trailer. It's 6 million naira. When we buy it, we'll now use it to be moving those goods. This keke we are using is enough. Is it not a good plan? It's a good plan. But it's dependent on 6 million naira coming. Praise the Lord. When the 6 million naira has come, the crop has permitted, amen? Then you take it to go and buy the truck. But the 6 million may say, well, they've sent me, but at the rate things are moving, I'm not coming to 2019. So you find out that you set your plan that this season, this is what we want to do. But what that thing you are pursuing, it happens in 2019. You know, a few days ago, on Monday, we had that training class in this. And I gave the people jotters. And I told them that, you see, you have to keep this jotter close to you. Because as a business person, as time goes on, you find out that ideas drop that are solutions to problems that you have, and you have to note them down. Why am I saying this? Because you can sit down in intelligence and plan the things that you think we want to do over a certain period of time. Some of them, in fact, you have to. Some of them will work out the way you want it. Many others will not. However, it doesn't mean that you throw them out of the window, especially if they are tied to the success of what you are trying to achieve. Praise God. Yes, if that, like, for example, you are producing bread, you say next year we want to get a bigger oven. It's a good plan. It's a fantastic plan. Do you understand? However, next year you go to Bank of Industry, they didn't give you a loan. You raise money by yourself, it was not enough. Your family, they are building house in the village, therefore they cannot give you extra money. So one way or the other, the cash does not flow. So what do? You work within what you have now, and you don't throw that plan out. You move it again. If it didn't work in 2017, you move it to 2018. So, but really, you have to settle down and itemize the things that you want to, that you think these are the next level of things you want to do within that season of your life. I hope I helped to answer that. Praise God.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Please, I just need to add my answer to that. It just different words to, but the same principle that Olayinka just said now. And the reason why I'm deciding to answer is because I make statements like that a lot, and sometimes people misunderstand me. You know, it's not something that Olayinka said, that your life is in seasons. Be honest with you, I don't believe in long-term plans. They never work. Long-term. Should I plan? Yes. The man came, the Lord gave them things, and he returned to the Lord. He said, your mina has made 10 months. That is, he had to find a way to multiply the mina. But there's no way to plan which city he will rule. That's the scriptural basis behind what I say. Do you understand? Now, I'm in school, I'm a student. Like Yinka said, life is in seasons. My current plan is what? Graduate with a good grade. And then those plans, again, they are not... See, I said something earlier yesterday about learning godliness with contentment. The plan must always be a plan for godliness, not for a result. Let me put it like this. People can say that plan to have a first class. If you've been to university, you know those plans they don't happen. Now that people don't make first class, that's not what I mean. What I just mean is that you cannot determine to have it. What can you determine to do? Be the best you can be. That is a good plan. So the plan is simple. I'm in my second year. I'm an engineering student. I have 4 more years to go. That is second to fifth year. This year, please don't plan about what you will do in final year. Are you getting my point? The overall plan in your life as a Christian, obey God, fulfill the calling. But how do you do it? Joseph dreamt a dream. What's the plan? The dream must come to pass. We have to start now. Are you getting my point? But for today, they sent him to the field. He reported properly what was going on. He ended up in Potiphar's place. He did very well. So each day, you have seasons. So each season, you execute what I call immediate plans. What I mean is that, second year engineering student, what are the subjects I'm doing? So this is my plan for this semester. I love Manchester United, but I'm an Arsenal fan. My plan for this semester is I will not watch any one of them. Any match they want to play is their problem. I will check the result. I will subscribe to Glow Football. They'll be sending me the notification. When your friends say, let's go, it's a plan from the beginning. I'm not watching. Why? I need time to read, to learn. That's what we mean by what? Planning for the day. It says sufficient. You see, as Christians, we are learning what the Bible says. Sufficient unto the day. So you know that day, if you read the Bible, the word day, all right, is not always 24-hour period. It describes the season you are in. So for each season, so this student, for this session, what's my plan? More time reading, no social media for this year beyond WhatsApp, and I put my WhatsApp on like Okemute Zone. Once a day, don't send Okemute WhatsApp message. You need to talk to him, call him. He doesn't use WhatsApp. He uses WhatsApp. His zone is not complete. Yeah, you know, as a student, like now, if you ask me, I'll tell students, if you ask my opinion, I may be wrong, this is just banky. Maybe I'm a cake. You know, I told you yesterday, I'm no longer a young minister. All right? Maybe. If you ask my opinion, I'll say, students, you should not do Facebook. That's my opinion. I may be wrong. It engages you too much. It doesn't teach you anything. I hope they're having a learning chat groups now. Engineers, they gather together and discuss this engineering drawing and all of that. That's the kind of thing you need to belong to. That's what I mean by planning. Do you understand? As a long-term plan, I'll give you personal advice. Have long-term desires. For example, One day somebody told me that, oh God, at this rate, you need a private jet too. I said, amen. What am I going to do about it? I decrease. Nothing. He was just feeling sorry for me because you know when I went to Port Harcourt?
Yeah.
If he swore, she told her husband, pastor is not coming this Sunday. No, went to Port Harcourt for the program, all right? If he was sure that that Sunday I won't come to Makurdi, she said she began to suspect I would come when she called you and you rejected the call. So she called you, you cut the call. She said, this man is on radio. If he's on radio, pastor is on his way to Makurdi. So she called me and we're somewhere around them, we had reached them, Otupu. She said, ah, daddy, now wow. You understand? Ah, daddy. Well, you know, my chat group, my brethren, so they know, we're tweeting the picture, you know, sharing the pictures from Port Harcourt. All our brethren came to the program now, so we're sending pictures. Pastor is in Port Harcourt. We're just playing. And we left Port Harcourt late on Saturday. Go home. You know, the time we go home that night, because of the holdup at Okigwe. Okay, we'll tell you now, we are back home, we thank God. She just told her husband, no, this man is not coming to Makurdi tomorrow. When she tried to call you, you rejected the call. He said, ah, is he coming? That's in that joke, say, ah, that this can work up and down. You need a private jet too. So I said, amen. See, desire. Nothing wrong with it. If you have private money, you're going to private places. Better flight. All those that say they don't believe in private jet, they're not going anywhere. You know who are not going anywhere. Your whole life is between Okunano and them. Okay, great. He said, no private jet. So please, that's just what I want to say. Yes, plan each day. I mean, you don't set out the day. One of the things I've learned personally that makes my day more efficient is at the end of the day, you know, you have what you have to do for this day. Because sometimes you are idle for a moment. But if you don't have a list of what you have to do for that day, you tend to forget.
Yes.
It may be I need to call these people. I do it in the morning. Today I'm calling Pastor Shegun, Pastor Chukuma. I list the people I'm supposed to call. I list their names. Then send radio broadcast to, you know, Abba, Enugu, Benin. I write it down. Edit last Tuesday's message. Do this like that. I write all of that down. I start ticking them. So I'm not talking about being planless that day, but that's the work for that day. Where is this ministry going to be in 20 years' time? I don't know. I don't care. Did we plan to go to Port Harcourt? The man who brought us to Port Harcourt came here to greet. Now we have a quarterly ministry in Port Harcourt, fully funded by people in Port Harcourt. So expansion in ministry. But cash-wise, we aren't paying anything. The days are already ready. Promo has started for the first quarter. And they've already asked me for the date for the second quarter so they can start preparing. All that headache is not on Israel's head. It's not on Felix's head. It's not on my head. It's not on the community's head. It's not on anybody's head. They'll just call and say, sir, how many people are coming? How many rooms do you want? We'll get there. Who planned it? That's just what we mean. Thank you.
Amen. So we need to run fast now. Our time is fast spent. So we have some questions here. So we need to handle them very fast. The next question here is there any business that is forbidden by Christianity, like sales of makeup cosmetics, example lipstick, cortex, eyeshadow, etc.? Is there any business that is forbidden by Christianity, like sales of makeup cosmetics, example, lipstick and co.
All right, praise God. Well, personally, I believe, like Pastor said, purpose is very important. You understand? And Pastor has also said that there is no law for a Christian. People have asked, should I work in Nigeria Breweries or not? One of the people in the board of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, that is, is he Ohiwere? Elder Ohiwere. I think he's in the board of Nigeria Breweries. Was former MD of them. So when people ask questions like that, I just give examples like that. Follow your conscience. However, a Christian should not be selling Igbo. You understand? There are things that I really, that India hem, all those things. But you ask yourself, should I work in Nigeria Breweries? Should I act? Just follow your heart. So just follow your heart. However, you know, what product are you selling? How is it affecting people? Is it affecting them positively or negatively? How is it affecting their life? So I believe there are some things you put. But if you say you're selling makeup, you're making people say, I don't think it's bad. If we go direct like that, I don't think it's bad. You know, one day I was on radio and somebody asked, should a man be making a woman's hair? Yes. Why should a man be doing the job of a woman? Yeah, and people have questions like that. But if you go to Nanka, you see, and it's even better because the ladies go to the guys and they make more money. You understand? So just follow your heart, and please, it's very important. What kind of product am I selling? Is it benefiting the person buying? You ask yourself this, and I believe you're able to come to a reasonable conclusion.
Praise God. Some few rules. Number one, if it is illegal, please don't get involved. If it is immoral, please don't get involved. If Nigeria says that this is not good, laws of the land, it's illegal. Don't get involved, please. But another thing I also want to add is, the three things Pastor mentioned earlier, while we walk, the three things he mentioned earlier, use that as a litmus test. Are you being a blessing by doing that thing? Ask yourself. It's not about making money. It can be any one meal per day self. Number two, are you establishing righteousness by doing that thing? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then number three, are you demonstrating God's excellency in that thing you are doing? Those things, if you add it to the other two, five of them will always help you take such decisions. Is it illegal? Is it immoral? Is it being a blessing to someone? Is it establishing righteousness? Or is it demonstrating God's excellency? For me, I think it will answer the question. Praise God. Can we move on now? Have we answered that? All right, the next question. Seed for the sower and bread for food. What do you do when family responsibilities tend to always push all your earnings towards becoming bread for food? Note, example of such responsibilities include health issues or feeding the family. Praise God. Is the question clear?
Yes.
What do you do when responsibilities, genuine family responsibilities tend to be taking all your earnings, which is bread, basically? So how do you now eke out the seed part of your earning from that? Health issues, parents' health or siblings' health or a close relation's health, then feeding the family. Probably you are the one already earning. Every other person, either they are in school or they are not earning, you are the one taking care of the whole family. How do you cut out the seed from that your earning? Please, we want to answer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because of time, let me just take a minute and answer that. First of all, if you read my teaching on what is seed for the sower, if I'm giving to my parents a seed, do you get my point? So if you're talking about health of parents, that's not bread for food. That's it for the sower. Do you understand? But you're talking about personal things that I have to do, maybe my own health, my wife, my kids, the family responsibilities, immediate family. I think it will qualify for bread for food, but there is no hard and fast rule about what proportion you give to anything. However, it's about priority. One man is a landlord, my colleague's landlord. When people go and meet him and say, please, they can't pay their rent on time, that they have problems, he says, your rent is also a problem. Yeah. He said, the problem is that you don't see it as a problem. That's why you come to tell me that you have problems. That if you realize that this rent is a problem, you will solve it. That's all I have to say about that. If you see, and giving is, you see, Christians look at this giving thing as if it's a ritual. That's why, if it's just part of life, let me give you an example. You're talking about health. Okay, what if it's somebody you are helping that's sick? Do you get my point? That's it for the sower. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't think that question, even though it looks reasonable, but if you look at it very well, I don't think we really can sit on it and be saying that, what if I'm spending all my money? We're not being religious about it. We're just saying all of these things are problems. Solve all the problems that come. You get the logic there. Uh-huh. That's what I can just say about it. So, and then, of course, there's no law on it must be this, it must be that. Let me give you an example. One day, there's somebody we're counseling with. Okay, we're supposed to pay some money And I said that, okay, the fellow didn't have a job, you understand? Now got a job that was paying, let's say, okay, we're praying that God, this guy will get a job so he can start meeting his obligations. And at that time, if he got a job that was paying 40K, he would be excited. He now got a job that was paying 70. Everybody was happy. Okay, do what you're supposed to do now. He said he doesn't have enough money. I said, but we were praying for you to get a job at least of 40,000. You now got 70 now. Suddenly you don't have enough money to pay the things you're supposed to pay, which was the reason we were praying in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that sometimes you look at it like that. This problem, so they are lump all of them together. They are all my problems. And you start solving them. And God, look, this is not the Lord is alive and well. He's watching. Do you get my point? So these are really dynamic things. So there's nothing like, if people say that I must put 10% here or 15% here, that you're not having these quarrels. Let me just leave it there. Thank you.
Amen. All right, so we are moving. All right, the next question. Since churches do not sell shares or borrow money to start up ministries, is it right to involve a partner or borrow money if you want to run your business as a ministry? You understand the question, sir?
No, what he's saying is this, sir, that you say do your business as a ministry. And then ministries don't borrow money. They don't say, hey. But I think it's a matter of getting our terminologies wrongly. Our terminology is wrong. When they say do your business as a ministry, come and stand here so that we stand together. When they say do your business as a ministry, what we mean is they see it as an assignment from God. But don't say run it like kingdom word. Every business has its way. Now, like Bishop Oyedepo will tell you that when he started ministry, he knew it was business. It doesn't mean he was paying dividends. It's just a terminology. That he made it serious. That from the day Living Faith began, they appeared at work 8 o'clock, everybody properly dressed with a tie. Pastor David Ibiome, how many of you know it? Salvation Ministry. That was the accountant. So the day they started, he to resume work. You know what he said? He said, because it's business. What he means is that he took it like, this is a firm in which I work. It doesn't mean that the rules of this business is the same as that of Coca-Cola. In the same manner, when we say take your business as a ministry, what it means is that be diligent in doing it. Know you have to account to somebody. That I'm not just running a school because I want to make money. God is going to ask me, how did I impact people? I'm not just selling clothes, making clothes because I want to make money. God is going to say, how did you train people in godly appearance through the thing you are doing? You take it like a ministry. And when you take it like a ministry, you're not sloppy about it. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we mean, that do your business as a ministry. You're not sloppy. You don't break rules. You don't do things you can't testify about. If it's food you are cooking, you put the diligence of making sure it is clean, it is good, it is beneficial to people. You don't give them things to eat that you are not sure will be good for them. That's what I mean by take it like a ministry. Now, the financial aspect of it, every business has its own way of doing, what they call it, handling the finances. In preaching of the word, it is run by offerings. If you are selling Coca-Cola, nobody is dashing you money. Do you get my point? Nobody's going to dash you money. You will manufacture your Coca-Cola, put appropriate pricing. Do you get my point? You will distribute, and everybody pays the same amount. But when it comes to the ministry of the word, the rules are different. The rule is that you don't charge anything. And people give according to what they have proposed in their heart. And you that's doing that preaching ministry, you now use wisdom to balance the two. Do you understand my point? Like now, here, last year we had space problems, you know. People couldn't get where to sit. People would come and be standing because we still had this place where cordoned off and all of that. The place was kind of tight. So I said, okay, we need space. Then Jonathan came and said, he thinks the best thing to do just to go and buy land somewhere and start developing it. I said to him, I said, Jonah, you are giving us a long-term solution for an immediate problem. Then I called, I said, how much does it take to erect a small basic hall? I said, well, 4 million will be able to do that. I said, laughing to myself. 4 million. Did you see 4 million balance in this account? Well, do you understand? When I say, okay, Jonathan, what you have said is good, but it's long term. Do you understand my point? It's long term. So we balance it out. How much money income is coming in? You know, that's the wisdom we now use. At the end of the day, God opened that other door for us. So we moved our office to the other side, had an extension there. We solved all the problem with a small fraction. All we needed to do was buy 3 televisions, buy an extra air generator, put extra ACs, and that's solved. What am I doing? What we have done is to take the money that we have and use wisdom to handle. We understood our income. The time will come when we just sit down and say, Bishop, I beg, have you finished that design of Kingdom World Media Center? Yes. Move the guys to the site. What is total amount? I said, I've checked this thing. With 200 million, we can get somewhere. I said, okay, just push 100 million. Start. What is amen now? What do you think? Like you understand my point? That time will come. So what I'm going to say is that, so each business has its way you handle the ministry. I have to just pray and we'll just believe God and I will watch how people give to the work. But if we were selling something, we'll market. We'll price. Do you understand my point? We'll check all of those things. So please, when we say run your business as a ministry, it doesn't mean that we're saying don't take loan. And just for your information, some churches take loans. Is it bad? Well, really, I won't say it's bad. It's not a law. You just get practical with it. Let me give an example. Assuming that somebody wants to sell a property now, you understand, that can give us everything we have here, and then the money comes to an amount that we know over the next few years we'll have much more than that, and Federal Mortgage Bank agrees to buy it for us. I say Federal Mortgage Bank because their interest rate is low, it's fixed, it's 6%, you understand? And we check how much we spend normally and all of that. We put everything together. There's nothing wrong with saying Federal Mortgage Bank pay for the building. Then we'll move into it and then we'll start paying rent back to Federal Mortgage Bank. And as God increases us, we pay them off. Now, because I didn't take money from Federal Mortgage Bank, that was a loan. That's a loan. We bought a building with a loan. Do you understand? Ministry, we don't declare dividends. If the business, and if we have 4 people put money together, at the end of the year, guy, you have to sort them out. So the rules for each thing is different. The fact that you're running your business in ministry does not mean you can't take a loan and you can't get partners. We have partners in Kingdom World, in quote, except that they don't collect dividends. Their dividends is when they see that the ministry is moving. The joy, that's the dividends for all of us. But if it was investing in Coca-Cola, oh boy, I don't have any joy that you are selling more if I'm not seeing my check at the end of the year. You understand what I'm saying there? Okay.
All right. So we'll move on to the last question for today. Does business have price or is it at the debatable price? Does business have price or is it at the debatable price? I don't really think I understand. Okay, if you bargain. Okay, if there is supposed to be a fixed price, or every you have to bargain. Okay. Business, we don't know. Is it like buying and selling, trading kind of thing? Commodity?
It's just maximizing profits. Like they do in markets these days. You go, nothing has a price. It's how much they can get you to pay for it that comes the price. So if you buy something for 5,000, you can come and tell you he's selling it for 15. Then you bargain and he sells it to you for 10. Somebody else might come and bargain and takes it for 7. So what the person is asking is, should you engage in that practice or should you have a fixed price for all your goods?
I would recommend this book, Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. Yes, because we don't have all the time. But there is something Larry Bucket said, and I share that opinion, okay? And that is that I don't think the price I sell to you should depend on your ability to haggle. That's the fairness about it. So that I make more from the man who doesn't like to haggle and make less from the man who harasses my soul. And like I say all the time, I don't believe in rewarding bad behavior. Do you understand? Somebody who will harass, I mean, my wife sells things. And I know there are people who will talk to her, she's worn out. I should tell you that, in fact, if somebody, this particular lady I have in mind, if that girl wants to buy something from my wife will run. The only other way to do is that if you want to sell the thing for 7,000, I should tell the person it's 10. And one thing about it is that, because we discussed it, I taught my wife that we discussed it. If you're selling for 7, whether you can price or you can't price, you are paying that 7. You just don't realize it. Once she knows you're a difficult person, say, okay, sorry, it's 15,000. No, she's going to sell for 7. You know, look, this 1 hour that you want to take, she's ready for you. Then you start the talk. Talk here, go there, say, no, it's 9. You talk. Her mind is, I'm selling for 7,000. You are paying that 7,000. Do you understand? Then finally, you pay the 7, you are happy, you go. Troublemaker, go. But if he knows that you don't price, he say, that one is 7. Yes. And she has friends like that. I'm thinking of another person now. Do you understand? And what was it? We sat down with, see, this is what I taught her then. As everything must have its reason. Let me explain what I'm saying. If, for example, there are friendship discounts. So if I'm selling this phone for 50,000, and if it's my friends, they get, what do you call it, maybe 10%. You will get that 10%. If I say when you buy 2, you get 5%. You get it, you understand my point. Then, of course, I now have my discretion, which I just want to die, because it happens. You can decide to do something for somebody for free. Do you understand? But if you're not doing that, deliberately cutting, like, I want to just dash you, you are my friend, so friendship price, this is it. But if I want to make my full, profit on it, I will recommend, and please read Business by the Book, that some of this they do in the open market is not good practice. It's actually not good practice. Fix your prices based on reasoning. Adjust them for reasons. And because what you do is, if you keep on saying, okay, I will, depending, you can argue. And good. God gives you people that will take your whole day talking. And you know the truth, even in this so-called open market, I don't know how many of you have noticed, there are places you buy things for, they don't expect you to haggle. They know you, they don't expect you to haggle. If you start haggling, they start losing the bit of respect that they had for you. Some will take advantage of that and cheat you, I know. But at least me, the way it's been with me for time, from time, if I have to be haggling with you, I won't buy things for you for a long time. I soon stop. And people have bought from, like, I used to buy things from brothers. I stopped when Ekene left, Ifeanyi left, and then this guy took over. I stopped going there. Because before, when I come, in fact, the way we used to do that, there was a day I needed something. I called them. I was traveling. The gen in the house had a problem. She now told me that it's beginning to short oil, this and this and that and that. Maybe we'll ring it. I say, ring generator. You go ring generator. Na motoka. So I told him, drop it at the back. And I was not at home. And I was traveling. So I just left a check. And I called Ekene. I need so and so size of generator. Do you have? Yes. Please drop it in my house. They'll give you a check when you get there. That's how well I dealt with them. And they'll just drive it there. Hey, pastor said we should drop something here. They drop it. Where's our check? It's when I will not tell them, okay, write this figure on it. And he carries his check. If I don't have money that day, I say, look, it's posted by a week. Please pick it up next week. They had no problem. And if I got that generator cheaper anywhere in Enugu, maybe 500 naira cheaper. Which is not bad. They brought it to my house. Not a big deal. The next guy on the line was, and that was it. They lost me as a customer. I'll buy ACs and discover that this guy actually hiked the price because, he knew that I wouldn't argue. Of course, when I complained once or twice, nobody did anything about it. That was it. Business, gone. Final. And these days of, Conga and Jumia and all these other places, who has time for your haggling? I Google the matter up. If you are giving me hassle, I tell Conga, drop it in my house. You know the way it is. They will drive it down, JJ, drop it, collect money on delivery. My personal issue is that my advice is, yes, fix your prices. Read Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. He gives scriptural reasons why you should do it. I'm not giving scriptural reasons now, but that's my own personal advice. Do your pricing. Have your rules for it. If they are my friends, I give them this price. Normal price is this. If you are buying 2, is this. If you are paying cash, is this. If you are going to pay me over 3, just have the... Are you getting my point? It's easier for you, and over time, you don't want to be haggling. 20 years later, I see they haggling. How much you won't pay? Come now, my friend, because of tomorrow. You know those kind of nonsense talk. Come on, we'll move forward like that in life. We continue doing like that.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I was discussing with Inka, and we were talking about laziness. Laziness of the mind and laziness to walk, which he talked part of it today. What Pastor is saying is very, very, very beautiful. It's a very good solution. But to achieve it, you must say no to laziness to be able to factor all the conditions and different contexts. Because sometimes in the service industry, there are a lot of things that you consider in your pricing. For having tangible goods, probably you are selling electronics, or you're selling, you know, lace in the market or something. Probably you know that this is this and everybody understands the price. But sometimes in the services industry, there are other things you get to consider in your pricing. So actually to get it to the details like that, they really have to get down to work to consider all those different scenarios and price all those scenarios and have them ready. And of course, as you're having them ready, like Pastor said, you have all the reasons why you arrived at that price and the reasons why you could change it in any possible situation or condition. I don't know if you understand. If it's a brother, if it's a sister, if it's a brother's friend, if it's a prospective client, probably someone you want to get into their sphere of influence. If a Otedola calls me and says that he wants me to do a design, you know, I may offer to do it just to get into his sphere of influence, just to do it for him. But that doesn't mean that I do everything for everybody free. Just to get, probably you probably introduce me to Otu Deco. Probably I'll get to know Dangote. Probably I'll get to know, you know how this thing works now. So you really have to understand the different scenarios, you know. When a pastor wants to get a bigger offering, that's why they give front seats. You know, they'll tell you to come on. Praise God. So that's actually understood. So we've exhausted our questions for today. And we're not doing too badly with time, but we'll close now. Please, let us pray.
All right, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for today. Let us individually just give him thanks. For the one thing that you learned, give him thanks for that. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the time that your children have gathered this morning, multiply that time, Father, for the rest of the day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What we will have achieved from 8 a.m. if we are running around, cause us to achieve it from this 11:30 in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.
This is my season of fruitfulness and multiplication.